real skin results start with one daily ritual. Meet Daily Microfoliant from Dermalogica. This iconic exfoliating powder activates with water to gently polish away dullness and uneven texture. It leaves skin instantly smoother and more luminous while supporting your skin barrier. Formulated with professional expertise to deliver visible results daily, even on sensitive skin. Discover your healthiest skin today. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at checkout for an exclusive gift with your $65 purchase.
Drivers, start your engines!
It's time for the fastest hour of radio, Southern Race Week, with your host, William Barber.
Well, this week on Southern Race Week, we've got a jam-packed show for you so much that I don't have that much time to talk about all what's going on in my squirrel world. I'm William Barber, a.k.a. WB, and this is Southern Race Week radio and podcast show. Sitting high atop his pit box and in the control tower, he's done advance from the pit box to the control tower. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the producer to the stars, none other than Elfie. What's going on, brother?
Hey there, WB. Glad to be with you again for another On the Week's edition of Southern Race Week Radio, along with the Southern Race Week Radio podcast, which is available for you at Odyssey, iHeartRadio, iTunes, or Spotify. So please head on over to one of those podcast locations. Go to the search, type in Southern Race Week, download, listen, and also subscribe to the Southern Race Week Radio podcast. But William, what an exciting week it's been in the NASCAR world this past weekend. We were in Pocono for the first time ever in his illustrious Hall of Fame career. Denny Hamlin won three races in a row.
I don't think it's going to be something that's going to go on the resume, but it's going to be something that I certainly remember. I mean, it's really not until you guys brought it to my attention that nobody in the top 10, well, I was the only one that hadn't had three in a row in the top 10 of the winners. So that certainly was, I was highly motivated anyway coming in here. I knew this would be my best shot. I knew that it ends next week, obviously. Now I'm just thinking, holy crap, man, we're 3 seconds away from having five in a row at Charlotte with the rain. Oh, my goodness. It's been a fun run.
As he came off a win at Pocono, and with that win, passes Kyle Busch for ninth on the all-times win list with 64 career wins. The next person on the list is Dale Earnhardt Sr. in eighth with 76 wins. So my question to you, William, do you think with 64 wins and he still has this season to go, next season, and he's even possibly talking about maybe extending his contract for another year, would that be the motivating factor for Denny Hamlin to stay and try to pass Dale Earnhardt Sr. with 76 career wins?
Well, I don't think it's about passing Dale Earnhardt Sr. I think it's about Denny understanding where his legacy is going to be in the motorsports racing world. I mean, at this point in time, you have to remember Dick Trickle came into the NASCAR world at like 35, 40 years old. I forget what he was when he came into the NASCAR Cup Series world, and he won Rookie of the Year. I mean, Denny Hamlin's like 40-something years old. I mean, he's not that old. He's in great health. I mean, I think Denny is going to just win, no matter what. His team seems to be on the right strategy, and it doesn't even seriously matter about what kind of racetrack they're on. There's been questions on Southern Race Week's podcast and Southern Race Week's Facebook page and Instagram page and X page about, is Denny and the 2311 team sharing information when it comes to race drivers, not necessarily technical information, because that'd be a violation. But hey, I mean, they all seem to be doing real well together as a group. So I think, yes, he is definitely going to definitely win more races over the next 2 years.
Well, we'll see how he does. Of course, he'll be coming here in Atlanta in a few weeks to the Quaker State 400 available at Walmart. So looking forward to seeing Denny Hamlin in action. And also, William, 64 wins, passing Kyle Busch for ninth on the all times win list. And then also this weekend, William, big time excitement in the NASCAR world as the Trucks, O'Reilly, and Cup Series will be racing at Coronado Naval Base in San Diego. And I mean, this is going to be fun to watch, no doubt about it. And as you, as a fan of the sport for such a long time, I mean, you've got to be excited and probably very curious to see how the NASCAR Series do on that road course in Coronado.
You know, this is going to be a very different road course race. I mean, and this is one of those races I have to say that I would not want to be somebody calling the race for TV or radio, because you can't see the whole track. You can't even see a portion of the track. I think Dale Jr. and the team that are going to be doing the broadcast are going to be stationed in the top of a tower of a battleship. So it is going to be one of those things. This is an unproven track. There's a lot of drivers that you and I talked about off the air that that have been doing a lot of sim racings about this track and everything else. And it's going to be a heck of a show. That's all I that's what I'm going to say as a supporter of the racing industry. It's going to be a heck of a show. You definitely want to watch it. And I know I'll be having my eyes glued to it and everything else. Alfie, I do need to mention that we have a lot of great things on the Southern Race Week podcast. Want to make sure that everybody follows it. Make sure that everybody knows that coming up Saturday, noon to 1, I'm going to be at ALM GMC in Mazda in Morrow, Georgia, and giving away race tickets. Every person that shows up is going to win race tickets, guaranteed. But you got to show up June 20th at ALM GMC Mazda in Morrow, Georgia, and you win just by showing up. But, you know, hey, I think it's a great thing. We got a great show, Alfie. Tell us all about it.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of Coronado, William, this past Wednesday night, the Coca-Cola iRacing Series was in action at the virtual Coronado Naval Base Road Course for the championship round of the 2026 Coca-Cola iRacing Series. So for the first time, drivers actually on the course with other cars. So we'll kind of get a thoughts from Alan Cavana. He's part of the broadcast team covering the Coca-Cola iRacing Series. So he'll let us know about what some of the drivers thought about the experience of racing virtually at the Coronado Naval Base. And then also Rick Minter, a great friend of the show, always joining us to talk about the class, the updated classes for the Georgia Racing Hall of Fame. Well, this year, Mr. Minter is going to be inducted into this year's class of the Georgia Racing Hall of Fame. So we'll talk about that great honor for him. And then also Tim Bryant, the owner of Five Flag Speedway, will join us to let us know about all the great activities, races, and events that'll be going on at Five Flag Speedway. So that's going to be coming up for you this week here on Southern Race Week Radio. But first, let's get real quickly to the latest in racing news this week on Southern Race Week Radio. First, to the world of NASCAR. Just announced earlier this week, Jesse Love will join the Wood Brothers Racing Team to drive the historic number 21 Ford in the NASCAR Cup Series season beginning in 2027. Love is the 2025 NASCAR O'Reilly Auto Parts Series champion and still competes full-time in that series. With 7 Cup starts on his resume, the 21-year-old will make the full-time jump to NASCAR's highest level next season. And also, this year's Summit Racing Equipment NHRA Nationals at Summit Racing Equipment Motorsports Park will again see an extra level of excitement when the stars of the Pro Stock class face off in the Pro Stock NHRA All-Star Callout. That'll be on Saturday, June 27th. And looking at racing action coming up this weekend, William, for the Cup Series, the San Diego Street Course for the Andrill 250, I believe is how you pronounce it there. That'll be coming up on Sunday, June 21st. The green flag will drop at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. You can catch the race on Prime and radio coverage provided by the Motor Racing Network, which can also be heard on Sirius XM NASCAR Channel 90. The IndyCar Series will also be in action on Sunday, June 21st. For the Expel Grand Prix at Road America, the green flag will drop at 2 p.m. Eastern Time for that event, which can also be seen on the Big Fox Television and the Fox One app and radio coverage provided by the IndyCar Radio Network. And then over to the NHRA Series, they'll be back in action June 25th through the 28th for the Summit Racing Equipment NHRA Nationals from Norwalk, Ohio. So there you go, William. That is the latest in racing news this week on Southern Race Week Radio.
Folks, we got plenty of racing news you can use on Southern Race Week's Facebook page, X page, and on its Instagram. You need to follow it, find it, and make sure you subscribe to it. And also, of course, the podcast. We'll be right back with more Southern Race Week right here. Thanks to ALMCars.com. Y'all stick around.
Whoa. Okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Hey, everyone. This is Anthony Alfredo, and you're listening to Southern Race Week.
All right, welcome back into this brand new week's edition of Southern Race Week Radio for you here along the far-flung Southern Race Week Radio network at Southie. As we continue on with this brand new week's edition of Southern Race Week Radio along with the Southern Race Week Radio podcast, is coming up this weekend a big event for NASCAR for a road course that's unlike anything we've ever seen in NASCAR before. As a fan, I'm really excited to check it out and see how it goes. But Wednesday evening, the eNASCAR Coca-Cola iRacing Series had their third round of their championship round at virtual Coronado Naval Base. And to break down all the action from the Coca-Cola iRacing Series, and also we'll talk a little NASCAR as well. He's a great friend of the show. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome in Mr. Alan Cavanaugh.
Oh, the best entrance in all of radio, Alfie. How you doing, my friend?
Oh, Mr. Cavanaugh, when we have a big deal guest on, we always got to give him a big deal introduction, sir. And you're one of the busiest men in broadcasting. You're all over the place. You're doing work for the Performance Racing Network. You're also calling the action for the Coca-Cola iRacing series as well. So you are a busy man, a father as well. So when we have this opportunity, happy Father's Day to you, sir, and of course all the listeners listening in here on the Southern Race Week Radio program. So real quickly to kick things off here, we're going to be going to Coronado this weekend for NASCAR, but you guys have the opportunity to see the action virtually in the Coca-Cola iRacing series, your third round of the championship series going on right now. So let's talk about it, Alan. Your thoughts on the course setup, and then from some of the drivers who were participating in this, what did they say about the course itself?
Yeah, first of all, it was just so cool to see it on the iRacing platform. If you remember, I mean, like a track like the Chicago Street Course, the one here in San Diego, they don't exist. They had never existed beforehand in terms of a racetrack. So it was actually iRacing that helped develop this racetrack and make it a reality. They went in there first, and then the rest was planned around it from the technology that iRacing was able to provide. So on this week, before any race car actually hits the track, it was the iRacing and the eNASCAR Coke series that the entire industry was focusing on because the track just hit the service. So everybody in real life and in sim has been practicing and doing laps on this track, trying to learn it. And fortunately, this week, the Coke Series Championship Series had its first race there. And you know everyone was watching to get an actual, just an idea of what competition would be like. And Alfie, man, it's unreal. Just the visuals, the technicalities of the track, how slim it is, how tight some of these corners are. It is going to be a very technical track. It's going to be a very difficult track. And last night's winner, a young driver named Bobby Zielinski, one of the best to ever do it in the sim, on a road course, said he was mentally drained afterward because it is so technical and you legitimately almost have to be perfect because there are little spots on this track that can come out and bite you. And if it can happen in the sim, I know it's not exactly the same, but I promise you everyone is practicing on this because it is so true and real to, you know, true to life. There will be these little places in reality that can come out and bite you. And Bobby Z said you have to be perfect, and that left him mentally drained. He was able to do it last night in the Coke series. He was wondering what it's going to be like in reality, though.
I was very interested to see how the course layout would be. And from some of the drivers that you had a chance to talk to, what were some of the areas around the track that gave them maybe some of the most difficult action to race around?
Well, a lot of it will just be learning, and that's what the industry was doing last night, watching the eNASCAR race, and what the drivers themselves last night were doing as the race was going on. There aren't obvious passing zones, right? That's what they were trying to figure out, is how to get around somebody, and most importantly, when to do it. And that's what a lot of the racing was last night, was trying to figure out when to make a move, how to make a move, and most importantly, when you kind of have to force it, because it's tight quarters, and if you take a move and miss a pass, you have really set yourself back, because there are times where you come off a corner and it is just so narrow in some of these sections. The section that looks like it has Red Bull signage, it is so narrow. It looks like you're going down a one-lane pit lane, but no, it's the racetrack. And if you don't complete the pass before then, I mean, you are just set back so long. And so that's what we saw last night, the best of the best in sim racing, just trying to find these opportunities. And ultimately, you had to be aggressive. You had to take a chance at the end, and you had to deal with the bumps. I mean, there was one. It looked like you are getting air. It is legitimately that crazy of a dip. After turn one, you'll see it this weekend when, you know, in real life, when the trucks and cars hit the track. After turn one, heading down into turn two, it's a legitimate bump. And I want to see what that's like in reality, because the sim is very close to life. And if we're seeing a little bit of air, that's going to be a crazy section of the race.
Now, a lot of these drivers in the Coca-Cola iRacing series are with teams that have cars, you know, signed up for the event this weekend. So how much will these drivers kind of lean on these iRacing drivers for maybe some advice and maybe some help on maneuvering around this course?
I think it'll be huge. And I think that the sim drivers in the eNASCAR series that are employed by NASCAR teams, you know, that run Friday, Saturdays, and Sundays, they're helping develop the sim that's right in the shop. Like 2311, they have Keegan Leahy as their sim driver. And Tyler Reddick has credited Keegan directly after wins at a place like COTA for all the development and help that Keegan was able to provide Tyler Reddick and the team at 2311. Carson Hocevar religiously watches the eNASCAR races, because one of the best to do it, maybe the GOAT of all time of eNASCAR, is a driver named Steven Wilson, the defending champ. He is the sim driver for Spire Motorsports. And Carson Hocevar, obviously big on iRacing, but Carson Hocevar is big into what Steven Wilson can do for him and the team. So you know they've been making laps, putting in the hours, trying to get as much knowledge as they can before they actually hit the track. So that's happening everywhere. Legacy has its own sim driver. The manufacturers have their sim drivers and their sim setups that come directly from the eNASCAR guys. So there's a big integration now, more and more, and it only gets bigger every year.
And speaking of Steven Wilson, he's leading the points right now in the Coca-Cola iRacing Series. You guys will be back in action for round four from the virtual Dover Motor Speedway. That'll be on the 23rd of June. 8 p.m. Eastern time is when the green flag will drop. 7:45 will be pre-race action. Alec and Vaughn will be a part of the crew calling all the action. So check out all the NASCAR social media platforms, iRacing.com, to be able to view and check that out for the rest of the season there in the Coca-Cola iRacing series. As we're speaking with Alec and Vaughn here on this week's edition of Southern Race Week Radio. Now, Alan, I'm sure you, among all us NASCAR people who cover the sport and grew up as fans, are probably really excited to see when we get out there realistically. What are your thoughts, and how excited are you to kind of see something that's never been done before, and especially with the 4th of July coming up and all the pageantry that'll be going on during this event?
Oh yeah, it's going to be awesome. And that's been the best part of this, like, kind of new era of NASCAR, in terms of going to new venues, trying things that you could have never even imagined. It's one thing to say, hey, let's go to this big track that we know is there. I mean, this is being imagined something that never even existed. And now NASCAR will be racing on this island, on this naval base, on a runway, you know, with an aircraft carrier there. It is just so unique of a venue that I'm just looking forward to it. And I'm thankful that they're taking these chances and doing these things. And especially to go to a track that is so new, so technical, and kind of seems like a wild card, but then you have this guy named Shane Van Gisbergen in the field, and it seems like less of a wild card in terms of who's going to win. It just feels like, how much is he going to win by? But that's still, I mean, to see the best of the best try to do it and challenge him is going to be fun.
Now, while we have you on the line, Alan, of course, you cover NASCAR as well for the Performance Race Network, and Jesse Love will now take over the 21 ride there for the Woods Brothers. Your thoughts on that and what that could bring to that 21 team?
Yeah, I love it for all parties. I mean, first of all, it's good to see a young driver. I just like to see the ladder climb again. You know what I mean? Like Corey Heim, truck champ, moving up to Cup, right? That championship means something. Now you have Jesse Love getting the O'Reilly, the Xfinity title last year. Young driver getting a quality ride and opportunity with the Wood Brothers, which we know is sometimes a de facto Penske team. It's like the fourth team, but it's a win for everybody. Jesse Love goes into a really good ride. Ford gets a really good prospect, right? They didn't have to develop him or anything. They kind of steal him away from Chevy. And the Penske crew, they get somebody really good in the pipeline because you always need that next young up-and-coming driver. And the Wood Brothers as well. They get one of the best prospects in all of NASCAR. What I'm most looking forward to is finally, in 2027, we have a legitimate Rookie of the Year contest already. Corey Heim versus Jesse Love. Could be more names added to that, but we at least have two really good prospects that are going to be fun to watch.
Well, Alan Cavana, appreciate you taking the time to join us here on Southern Race Week Radio. Of course, you can check him out for some races there on the Performance Racing Network. Also, part of the broadcast team for the Coca-Cola iRacing Series as well. Mr. Cavana, if our listeners out there want to follow you on social media, keep up with what's going on with you and NASCAR and the Coca-Cola iRacing Series, where are we steering for the latest news and information, sir?
Yeah, please follow me on all the socials. On X, it's Alan Cavana, at Alan Cavana, and on Instagram, at Copa Cavana. And wherever you want to find me, please let me know.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or?
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day.
And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Hey, everybody. This is Ben Rose, and you're listening to Southern Race Week.
Hi, race fans. Welcome back to this edition of Southern Race Week Radio and Southern Race Week Podcast. I am William Barber, a.k.a. WB. And I tell you what, I have been involved in racing pretty much all my life. But it wasn't until many years ago that somebody told me, listen, you need to get to know this guy. He reports for the AJC, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, on short track racing, NASCAR stuff. He knows everybody. And you need to get to know him if you want to be in this media world of racing. I said, okay, what's his name? Ladies and gentlemen, now Georgia Racing Hall of Fame member, none other than Mr. Rick Minter on the show. Rick, welcome to the show, sir. Or welcome back, I should say.
Well, thanks for having me on again. I appreciate it.
Rick, you've been involved in this sport for a long time, and it is so great to see you being inducted into the Georgia Racing Hall of Fame, man.
Well, I really appreciate it all happening. Actually, my daughter, Stephanie, that I guess you've talked to as one of the voters, kind of pulled a fast one on me. I didn't realize all this was going on until it was too late to back out. But she and Cindy Elliott and some of the people at the Hall of Fame got me on the ballot before I knew anything about it. But I really appreciate the voters doing that. It means a lot to me. Like you say, I spent a lot of time doing this, and I'm just happy to represent the sport in a different place now.
Well, I tell you what, Rick, you used to cover Sonora Raceway like kudzu, man. I mean, you watched that track go from dirt to asphalt to back to dirt. How great is it to see a track that you covered for many years get turned around and be so successful?
It just means the world to me. And I don't know whether you realize or not, but the way I even got started in racing, hence Pollard that built the track down there.
Right.
Came up to me at the little country store on the road that I live on down here back in 1976 and sort of summoned me outside. I was just fresh out of high school, and he gave me a season pass. And I said, well, I ain't done anything to deserve a season pass. He said, well, you're always talking up racing, said, I want you to have it.
Wow. And,
so I took it, and I felt like that I owed him something back for that pass, and I started calling in results. At the time, my dad was the editor of the Journal Constitution, so I couldn't really work there.
Right.
But I could call in little paragraphs that they'd on each track that they ran, and I expanded from that to, you remember WPLO radio? Anybody, your listeners, yeah, remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
They had a little racing segment on Monday nights, and I'd call in results to them, and then I started including West Atlanta. Later on, it was Seven Flags and Dixie and Rome and some of the tracks up in Northeast Georgia, and did that for many years, and I really enjoyed that, and it was very helpful later on when I got to working for the AJC, because I had records of, like, Buck Simmons. I mean, I didn't have a record of every race he ever won, but I could find a little clip that I'd written where he'd won his, you know, 12th straight at Westminster, South Carolina, or
right,
won his 15th at Livonia. So when he was getting close to 1,000 wins, I could justify that he wasn't just making up the numbers. Right. It was stuff I'd actually written myself.
Well, and that's the thing is that, you know, I remember, and you, I know you do, that back in the day, you know, before Google and before social media and all this other stuff, if you wanted information on a racetrack, you literally had to buy a book that would have the racetrack's name, the owner's name, the content, the phone number for them, and all this other stuff. And generally, it was their home phone number in that book. And I remember...
Yeah, that guy's name was Brown. I forgot his first name that put that book out. But yeah, you're right. That was kind of the Bible of covering,
yeah,
local tracks.
I tell you
and
what...
You could also... I mean, I got what I'd call the... Usually it was a lady doing it, the scorers at the track, and get a relationship with them where they could just take the scorecards home and tell me who won and what lap they got to, you know, can't be everywhere,
right,
on Saturday night, but
right,
they could tell you from looking at their records, like who won the features and what lap they took the lead and who they took the lead from. So I had a lot of help back in the days from people that worked at racetracks. And like I say, even at Sonora, when it went back to asphalt, or went to asphalt, that was my first byline in the Clayton News Daily.
Oh, wow.
My dad had bought part of that paper. My first byline was the first day they ran an asphalt race down there. And actually, it got delayed a week. It got rained out the first time. I don't know if anybody remembers that or not, but it was Sunday afternoon racing, and it was the second week, actually, that they finally got to run. But that was my first story with my name on it in a paper anywhere.
Wow, wow. So that is evolving, and from the Clayton, the AJC, I mean, and now you, of course, you were doing radio calls in before then, before you even got a byline. So, you know, you've seen a lot, and also in the world of NASCAR. I know that you and Ryan Newman used to be buddies and used to talk about farming all the time, and Mike Helton and tractors and everything else. So you've seen a lot in your years of covering both the short tracks and NASCAR.
And another thing I was always really interested in was the history of racing before I started watching and covering it. And I was very fortunate to get to interview some of the pioneers, the true pioneers of racing before, you know, they passed away. I had a lot of fun doing that. And I remember Ed Samples, it was a 1946 national champion. People didn't even really remember him back in the day. And I wrote a big story about him for the Clayton News Daily. And then my dad sold his interest in the papers, so I was out of a job, and I went to the AJC just on a 6-week tryout, and they gave me no assurance of anything like a continued job, because I didn't have any journalism experience other than listening to my dad growing up. He was a newspaper guy, and what little I'd done at the Clayton News Daily. But the day I went to work there, Ed Samples passed away, and I had my little notebook you carry around in your back pocket, still, yep, had my notes from interviewing Ed, and I wrote his obituary, which ran on the front page of the Journal the day I went to work there. So
wow,
it probably saved my AJC career, because it followed it up with a more extensive story for the Constitution the next day. And like I say, I was a turnip green farmer and a dirt track guy trying to make it in the pretty sophisticated AJC world. But Ed Samples, the timing of his passing basically saved my course, at least got me in the door, and went from there up there. So I've always thought about him a lot over the years. And he was a real, those guys were real heroes. I mean,
yeah,
they took him out of Lakewood and not just to Amos, but a hearse. And one of his guys wanted to ride with him wherever they take deceased people, and realized he was still breathing. So they diverted to the hospital. But,
oh, wow.
Yeah. He was a big time racer back in the day, and I really thought a lot of him. And like I say, he's very instrumental in a strange way in me even getting going with the AJC.
If y'all just join us here, we got Rick Minter on the old hotline here, the ALMcars.com hotline. And like I say, I've known Rick for many, many years. I have looked up to him and turned to him for advice. And now, Rick has been actively involved with the Georgia Racing Hall of Fame for many, many years, but now has been inducted into the Hall of Fame as a member, not just a coordinator, but a member of it. So congratulations again on that, brother.
Well, thank you so much. Like I say, it means an awful lot to me.
And then, of course, the Fairground Speedway. And I remember when they were making the movie, you know, Smoking the Bandit, being able to see that racetrack before it became a movie studio. Lakewood was a great racetrack that many people don't even know about today.
It was known as the Grand Old Lady and the Indianapolis of the South. And people don't realize that the Indianapolis 500 cars and drivers ran a circuit that included Lakewood. And when they started back racing it after the end of World War II, George Robeson, who won the Indy 500 that year, got killed at Lakewood in the racing on Labor Day weekend. But it was a very influential track in racing in its time. And even the last couple of races out there drew really good crowds. But it was just too fast and too dusty. But yeah. I've thought about many times that Mayor Hartsfield, that the airport's named for, was on the fair board. And his plan was to change it to a 3/4 mile track and make it be a showcase. Did you ever go to any of the races out there?
I went to, but I could have sworn I went to, one that it was asphalt, though, I thought.
They had a race on pit road. But
pit
I
road,
don't remember
yeah.
About that, but,
yeah, pit road. Yeah.
But the mile track was dirt.
Yeah,
they had nice suites on top of the concession stand at Lakewood, and way before anybody in NASCAR ever thought about that. But Mayor Hartsfield was a visionary about a lot of things, airports and racing included. But the fair board changed and he lost his votes. They were spending money making that place nice. But if they'd have cut it down to a 3/4 mile racetrack, you wouldn't even know about Atlanta Motor Speedway. It would have kept the cup date and been kind of like Richmond, a really nice racetrack right in the middle of town. It would have worked. But he had the vision, just didn't have the votes to make that happen.
All right, you know I can't let you go without us talking about your Tractor Fest now. Come on, give me some news.
Well, we're working in here. We're making a replica of the old-time garage that a neighbor of ours had through the years when I was growing up. We're adding a dirt moving, we're expanding, I guess we'd say, our dirt moving exhibit to have like old-time shovels and clamshell buckets and drag lines and antique bulldozers. We're really expanding that across the road from the main part of the show, but the show is growing. My daughter, Stephanie, that you know, of course, from your voting on the Hall of Fame, she's pretty much full-time working there. We got a great group of volunteers, but our next show will be the 29th annual Inman Farm Heritage Days on September the 18th through the 20th. It's free admission, 3 days, lots of fun, and there's plenty to do unless you're just a totally boring person, you'll find something out here you like that you can hang your hat on and visit and enjoy. But we try really hard to make it for all ages, find something for them to do here, and we just love doing it. It's a labor of love for sure, and we have a group, like I say, that spends just about the whole year working on projects and improvements here, but we're really proud of it and hoping to keep that thing going for years.
Rick, if somebody wants to find out more about that, is there someplace we can point them to?
Yeah, on Facebook or YouTube, Inman Farm Heritage Days.
Okay.
You can search there and find that, and we try to keep that pretty updated. Or you look at my personal Facebook page. That's mostly what I post about now anyway. So we got a website. It's at minnersfarm.com, but if you search for Inman Farm Heritage Days, it'll take you there too.
All right, Rick. Well, again, congratulations, brother, and we look forward to having you back on the show real soon.
Well, I'm always glad to do it, William, and I appreciate all you do for the sport, too.
Oh, man. Hey, I'm just a squirrel trying to be in the same tree with you, brother.
I don't know about that. Well, do a great job.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Hey, folks, we got more Southern Race Week coming up. Y'all stick around.
Whoa. Okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years.
and their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
This is Leah Pruitt, and you're listening to Southern Race Week.
All right, race fans, it is that time again. It's time for us to hit the road and head on down to Pensacola's Five Flag Speedway here on Southern Race Week radio and podcast. And, of course, on the old ALMCars.com hotline, we have none other than Mr. Tim Bryant. Tim, what's going on, brother?
How you doing, WB? Always good to hear from you.
Man, I tell you what, man, I'm doing well, doing well. I was just down near your neck of the woods this past weekend for a 90s throwback concert, man. I tell you what.
Well, I'll tell you, we had a lot of stuff going on in our area this past weekend, but we was busy here at Five Flag Speedway as well. We had a doubleheader for super late models, twin Southern Super Series races. We had one on Friday night, picked up Stephen Nassy, picked up the win. We come right back on Saturday night with another 100-lap race, and lo and behold, Stephen Nassy picks up the win. He swept the weekend, and it was a great night for the Anthony Campy Racing team.
June 26th or something like that or whatever, that you've got some stuff coming up.
We got, you know, you're not totally wrong, WB. We got another big doubleheader coming up on June 26th. It's the Modified of Mayhem Tour. The open wheel pavement pounders will be here in force. We'll be racing them here on Friday night and at Mobile International Speedway on Saturday night. So another big doubleheader there. But our Snowball Derby guys were in force. We had a strong field of cars this past weekend. Jake Garcia finished second on Saturday night, and Bubba Pollard finished third. So the Georgia contingent made a very strong showing, but it was Stephen Nassy's weekend, that's for sure. He was on his game and picked up both wins.
Well, you've got plenty of things going on. Also coming up in August, if I'm not mistaken, I'm going to bring down my old 2012 Hyundai Sonata and enter it into the Derby, Demo Derby. Is that what you invited me to?
We do. We have a demolition derby coming up on Friday night, August the 7th. It's annually our biggest summer night of the year. People love to see. It's a good old-fashioned demolition derby at the conclusion of a full night of racing. We put 14 cars as our max entries.
Wow.
We put 14 cars on the front straightaway. We face half of them one direction and half of them the other direction and drop the green flag, and they meet in the middle.
Oh,
and
gosh.
It is total mayhem, and the last car running wins the money, and the fans just eat that stuff up. There's no question about it.
I bet, man. I bet that's like that, and it seems like that and the Crown Vic races seem to be the draw these days. Of course, Demolition Derby's been a draw all the time for the last 100 years, but those Crown Vics, man, seem to be putting on a heck of a show all over the United States, man. You've got them right there with you too, right?
It's definitely the rave. It really is. I mean, it's an affordable way for people to get into racing. And what we're seeing is people, we're seeing a lot of new people coming into racing because they can do it at an affordable rate. And we're also seeing some people that got priced out of the racing game. We all know how expensive it is, but we're seeing some old timers coming back into racing. So we're having a blast with our Crown Vic class. We call them Crown Stops here in Pensacola. And, we typically have anywhere from 20 to 28 of them things on any given Friday night. And it's a battle royal for sure. They beat and bang and slide sideways and pull them out, pull them out of a slide. And that's kind of the old school racing that people long for.
Now, I know you remember the movie, The Blues Brothers, correct?
I do. Uh-huh.
And you remember they drove a black and white Crown Vic police car, if I'm not mistaken, right?
I believe you're right. Yep.
Well, I just watched something or saw something the other day that after that movie was made, that car disappeared.
speaking of Crown Vicks, guess where it ended up?
Probably Freedom Factory.
Nope. It ended up on a, being repurposed as a police car for a police department somewhere.
I'll be darned.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he's, you know, I went down a rabbit hole, I guess, on YouTube one day about movie cars and where are they kind of thing. And and somehow or another that came up and everything. And I said, well, I'll be damned. I forgot that. It was a Crown Vic right there.
Yeah, so. It sounded like it was something right up Cletus McFarlane's alley. But
yeah, yeah.
That's good to know. You're interesting, real quick story, I'll tell you. Our local police department has got a new fleet of Ford Explorers. And the reason they're going to Explorers is they're silver in color. They got black letters on, says police department. And they can, when they get ready to sell those things, they can peel the letters off and take them to an auction because they bring so much more than a black and white unit at an auction.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of an interesting tidbit of information. So the old days of buying the old black and whites may be coming to an end.
Well, I know. And as a matter of fact, I've got a race friend of mine, Chris. He just went to the auction and bought an old SUV police car and got a great deal on it. You know, I mean, and the one thing about buying a police car, I guess, is that they get their oil changed on a regular basis. You know, they get maintenance. So
they do. Yes, they do.
Well, all right. Well, let's see. If y'all just join us here, we've got none other than Tim Bryan from Five Flags Speedway. And he is the Five Flags Speedway, of course, is the home of the Snowball Derby. Tim, when do tickets go on sale for the Snowball Derby if they have not already started, sir?
So fans that had to, they were at the Derby last year that had tickets to last year's Snowball Derby have until August 1st to renew those tickets. And they can actually request an upgrade if they want to move higher, closer to an aisle or what have you, different section, you know, the story. So we'll process those upgrades after the August 1st deadline passes. And then we'll go on sale with all remaining tickets to the general public on Monday, August the 24th. Looking for the Snowball Derby to probably be a little bit bigger and better than ever. We've got a little momentum going behind that event, and we look forward to trying to work hard to maintain that momentum and are looking forward to this year's race and expecting great things.
We may be coming down your neck of the woods around the 25th, 26th of September. What's the chance of getting in that? I hear that there is a VIP Turn one area that some guy built or something like that. What is that all about? I heard rumors of that.
Well, we've got several hospitality suites now. We've been, you know, been a work in progress here. We've got two big party decks in turn three and four. We've got two hospitality suites in turn two and a hospitality suite along the front straightaway.
Oh, okay.
So, you and your lovely bride can watch from anywhere y'all want to if you'll come to their championship race on September 26th. Heck, y'all sit in the flag stand if you want to.
Hey, you know what? Whatever, man. Whatever. We'll do whatever, man. When you know, we'll work for free tickets. You know what I'm saying? I mean, come on. It's hey, simple as that.
You are the VIP here. So don't forget that. We appreciate all the years of coverage you've given us here at Pensacola in your area up there. We got a lot of great fans come from that area, and again, the. You know, we're racing again next Friday night, Modified Mayhem doubleheader. We've got a few more races in between that, but September 26th, which is a Saturday night, as we are normally a Friday night track, and September we switch to Saturdays to get around our local high school area football games. And so Saturday night, September 26th, we're having our Alan Turner Pro Late Model Series championship race, and of course the Deep South Cranes Blizzard Series championship race, and our Crown Vic Championship that same night. So be a big night and be glad to have you.
Well, I think we are tentatively on the schedule to head on down to Spectrum Resorts in Orange Beach to Turquoise Place on the 25th. So, I mean the 26th. So, hey, we might just be swinging on by there and coming on and enjoying a race. Because awesome. I'm walking around. Awesome. I'm getting around a lot better these days than I was the last time you saw me.
So, well, that's good to know.
Yep. Well, listen, Tim, we sure appreciate your time, man. Let's remind everybody where they can go to get tickets for Five Flags Speedway and how they can get them in advance and make sure they've got any kind of RV spot or anything else they might need.
Yeah, so fiveflagspeedway.com, you'll see a graphic on there for Ticket Hawk. That's our ticketing solution now. You click on that, and it'll take you through a simple process to buy tickets in advance. By the way, this year, first time ever, when tickets do go on sale on Monday, August the 24th, for the Snowball Derby, they'll be available through the Ticket Hoss app. We've not done online tickets for the Snowball Derby before, but this year we're doing that again for the first time ever. So Ticket Hoss is the app. FiveFlagsSpeedway.com has all our scheduling and ticket information.
Hey, this is Jamie McMurray, and you're listening to Southern Race Week.
All right, welcome back into this brand new week's edition of Southern Race Week Radio for you here along the far-flung Southern Race Week Radio Network. It's Alfie. As we wrap up this brand new week's edition of Southern Race Week Radio, along with the Southern Race Week Radio podcast. Once again, I want to give a big thanks to our great guest for joining us this week here on the program, broadcaster and NASCAR journalist Alan Cavana, along with Rick Minter, the newest member of the Georgia Racing Hall of Fame, and then also Tim Bryant, owner of Five Flag Speedway. Thanks a lot to these great guests for joining us this week here on Southern Race Week Radio. And if you'd like to go back and listen to these interviews all over again or any of our previous episodes of Southern Race Week Radio, as we talk with the biggest names in NASCAR, IndyCar, grassroots racing, and the NHRA series. So head on over to Odyssey, iHeartRadio, iTunes, or Spotify, and go to the search, type in Southern Race Week, download, listen, and subscribe to the Southern Race Week Radio podcast. Also, don't forget about our social media platforms as well. You can like and follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/SouthernRaceWeek or on Twitter at SRW Radio. And don't forget to check in on our Facebook page, as we still have opportunities for you to win tickets to hang out with us at the Quaker State 400, available at Walmart Race Weekend, coming up here in just less than a month away from Echo Park Speedway. And also make sure you're tuned in next week. We've got a very special edition of Southern Race Week Radio. We have confirmed, and it is done, as our very own WWB will have the opportunity to speak with NASCAR Cup Series driver Ricky Stenhouse Jr. about his upcoming visit to Echo Park Speedway for the Quaker State 400, available at Walmart, and also the questions that only WB can ask the superstar driver. So check that out. Once again, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. will be on the program next week. So enjoy the rest of your racing weekend, and we'll catch back up next week for another all-new week's edition of Southern Race Week Radio for you here along the far-flung Southern Race Week Radio Network.
Real skin results start with one daily ritual. Meet Daily Microfoliant from Dermalogica. This iconic exfoliating powder activates with water to gently polish away dullness and uneven texture. It leaves skin instantly smoother and more luminous while supporting your skin barrier. Formulated with professional expertise to deliver visible results daily, even on sensitive skin. Discover your healthiest skin today. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at checkout for an exclusive gift with your $65 purchase.